You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I am so glad you're here. I'm your host, and here on the Best Practices Show, we just take a look at the best business practices and clinical practices from all the best practices. And today, you're going to see this guy really came from the best, teaches the best, and I think you're going to love this. Matter of fact, I know you're going to love this. So if you're here for the first time, I want to do a few things. You know, during the COVID conference, we saw a lot of people register, and a lot of them were young dentists and even dental students. So if you're here for the first time, I just want to do a couple things. Number one, I just want to welcome you to a very inviting community. I'm glad you're just showing up, and you're going to see there's no egos here. We're just going to bring you great information with some of the best experts in dentistry to help you create a better practice and a better life. So do me a favor. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, go down to that little button that says subscribe and click it, so that you can keep showing up every single week. You're going to see, we're going to bring you another expert in dentistry and just give you some great information so that you can go back and create a better practice and a better life. Also, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, join us over there. We're over 13,000 of you are there. And it's really cool because it's just a lot of people helping people. A conversation always continues over there. And then lastly, if you're just looking to improve your practice, this morning we had our masterclass and Dr. Nate Lawson was on. We've got a great group of resources over there. Act Dental U, you're going to see every single Friday, we bring a great expert for a 90-minute masterclass. They bring their best stuff and then 30 minutes of Q&A. This morning we had Dr. Nate Lawson, and he's a genius. And he also makes a topic that's potentially very dry, very, very funny and engaging. So I know you'll love it. So check it out at actdental.com. And if you just need somebody to talk to about your practice, feel free to reach out. We're always here. We want to help you create, again, a great practice. Remember, dentistry is the greatest profession ever. You can create whatever you want. Go after it. Make it happen. So I want to introduce my guest because, Jeff, I've known you for a long time. And it's one of those things where you and I are on the road. I remember standing behind you at Hinman, and I'm like, Jeff, how are you? And you're like, who are you? And I'm like, I don't even know. So I've seen you on the road a ton, and you're one of the most requested speakers in all of dentistry. You're an incredible giver to this profession. You've surrounded yourself in so many great circles. And even this morning, I'm working with the Chicago Dental Society. It's amazing. So I'm so excited to have you on here. I know who you are. Bob Margis, all of us, we know who you are. But if somebody's listening for the first time, who is Dr. Jeff Brusciò? Who are you? What do you do?
Wow. Well, I started in dentistry 1988, graduating from University of the Pacific, went in with my dad. It was a two-operatory office with no hygienist, one dental assistant, and my mom. And wow. So it was my mom, my dad, myself, and one dental assistant, and two operatories. So much so in a compact little space that if my mom needed to make a an insurance form copy. I would have to stop what I was doing, sit the patient up. She would have to walk around the chair, use the copy machine that was in the back of the operatory to take a copy of an insurance form, and then leave, and I could continue with my procedure. So I started in a very mom and pop dental practice, and you know, my dad gave me some pretty great advice, and he said, always push yourself, always try to do your best. And he would tell me stories throughout his life as a dentist, and he's 104 now and still doing great. He would tell me stories about frustrations with impression materials and frustrations with laboratory technicians. And he always said that dentistry is a wonderful profession, but sometimes we don't have complete control, and to continue to motivate yourself to do the very best. And so I went on my own journey, having a very slow, small practice. And I was given the opportunity to go back to the dental school immediately after graduation and teach. And I would tell you that that's an unbelievable experience. Dr. Rich Garcia put me on the clinic floor a month after graduation. And now I'm working with the junior and senior dental students that got themselves in trouble. And I had to go over like the instructor and try to get them out of trouble. And I would tell you that that was one way to really improve your skills on the spot very quickly. And so my journey was always to continue to figure out the very best way of doing things. And so I was able to start with a very small practice with very little pressure, very little overhead, and strive for the best and search out those people that I thought would be mentors in teaching me the best. And here I am 33 years later.
Yeah, this is so awesome. Now, you run a very important place in dentistry called the FACE Institute. And when we talk about interdisciplinary dentistry, you know, a lot of people don't know the stories. Now there's so much great information. Education is obviously a very important part of this industry. But let's go back. The question always becomes like, you know, where did Kokich start? Where did Coyce start? Where did, like, how did this all come together that restorative dentists started working with specialists? Like, give us that journey. In 1970, you guys started you weren't there.
No, I was not there.
I was born in 70. No.
But I was 7 years old.
Okay, good. There you go. See, you're going to see I'm not the smartest guy. I'm just trying to, but they started the journey back in 90. Tell us how that came together. What was that in 1970 that they started?
So there are several great names in dentistry that we've all seen in textbooks, Peter K. Thomas, Charlie Stewart, and so many great names in occlusion and a term that comes with it some challenges, but nathology. And nathology is simply a term that it refers to the study of the movement of the jaw. It's not a scary term. It's studying the movement of the jaw. And so back in the late 60s, there was a restorative dentist in the San Francisco Bay Area, Dr. Tom Bosta, who was on a mission to figure out why he could do what he thought was the very, very best, and it still not always worked. And that can be very frustrating for anybody in dentistry where you think that you've done everything perfectly. You've done it the way that your mentors have told you to do it. You followed the steps exactly, and things didn't work. Right. And that was Dr. Bosta back in the late 60s. And so he was on a mission to learn, and he took so many courses and learned from the very, very best, and also took courses from people he didn't agree with to see both sides of the story. And at that same time, in the San Francisco Bay Area, there was an orthodontist that's now become world renowned and known, Dr. Ron Roth. And Ron Roth was equally as frustrated with ortho. And he thought, you know, every orthodontic case is a full mouth reconstruction. That's what ortho is. And they've got an extremely difficult job to do it well. And he would be frustrated because he thought he was doing everything exactly how he was taught, everything right. And then he would look at his results and they weren't the way that he wanted them to, almost to the point where he was going to quit dentistry, because he's like, why am I working this hard and then getting this result? And so he chose his own path in the orthodontic world to learn from the very best in ortho. And about the time when both of them were becoming true masters of their field, they came across one another and they realized that their stories were very similar and that their goals were very well lined up. And so FACE started by bring a place where the orthodontist and restorative dentist could come together for a 7-week program and learn together and learn starting with the jaw joint. It was back in 1970, we were looking at the jaw joint really before most other anybody else in dentistry was. Resolving the jaw joint first, then aligning the front teeth and the back teeth. And so that was, FACE started with Dr. Ron Roth and Dr. Tom Bosta just having traveled the same frustrating journey and ended up at the same place and realized that we need to bring the team together and we need to teach the team together so that everybody's on the same page. And I'm sure you've worked with specialists where that doesn't happen. And there's nothing more rewarding than working with a specialist that has practiced restorative dentistry for a period of time and understands how darn difficult restorative dentistry can be. And so FACE was the first study club that I know of back in 1970 that was an interdisciplinary approach to learning.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Now, I want you to tell the story. It was 50%, you know, you'd have the restorative dentist and you'd have the orthodontist. And then when you were talking to Tom Boss and they pulled you in, you said, I think you said, like, okay, they're either that good or these guys are crazy. Tell that story. I love that.
So I was actually teaching out at LVI and I was working out there and becoming a mentor. And I went to one of the LVI programs and my big sister in dental school was there. And she said she just signed up for this occlusion program. And it was so of what I was looking for. I was taking some Pankey programs. I was taking some Dawson programs. And this one sounded like it would be what I needed. And so I walked in to the introductory program because back then it was a 7-week program. And it was a full commitment to 7 weeks over 18 months. A very small group of dentists learning together. And so what they would do was offer a 2-day introductory program so that you could see what it was about before you committed that 7 weeks. And I sat in the back of the room and I remembered it was 1993. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I looked at what Tom Bosta was saying. And I looked at what Tom Bosta was showing. And I'd never heard of any of this. And the things that he was showing and doing were so different than anything I had ever been exposed to. I thought either these guys are crazy or they are that good. And so part of my 7-week investment was to figure out which of the two they were. Were they crazy or were they that good? And I quickly learned that they were that good. It is a technique that answered all of the questions and that I hadn't even thought of yet. You know, one thing that and Tom would tell you this today, that when I signed up for the program, I'd been out of school 5 years and he thought I was too young. In fact, he was not going to allow me to take the program 5 years out of school.
Right.
And why? why would you turn away a young dentist? And he said, you haven't made enough mistakes. You haven't seen enough failures. I'm going to give you tools that are going to be so exact that you need to be motivated to use these tools. And if you haven't seen things go wrong, and if you haven't seen work that you've worked hard on fail, you may not be motivated to use the tools that I'm going to give you. And that's a challenge. I mean, you have to have failures before you really, and some of us accept failures and some of us don't. And I'm one of those that if something fails, what in the world did I do wrong? You know, what could I have done differently to prevent that from happening? And and so that's really what FACE answered for me.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, it was joint dictated. And I, one of the core principles that you shared with me that I absolutely love, and I want you to explain, you said, like, the whole thing was we don't do anything irreversible until, and finish that, like, because I feel like that's a really important piece of this. You know, you're going to fail, you're going to screw up, but explain that.
So, you know, in dentistry, so many times we are do first, think second. And unfortunately, we are not motivated through third-party carriers and through some of our education. We're not motivated to think first and do second.
Right.
And one thing that I really committed to within the FACE family was that we don't start a procedure until all of the questions are answered. If we have a patient walking in great need of help, we're going to determine in a reversible way whether we can help them or not. And on those rare instances when we can't help them, what I tell that patient is they're going to walk out of the office exactly the way they walked into the office. That if we can't help them, that we have not introduced any damage. And we've all had that patient in the chair that has sat down and said that if you just reshape my mesiolingual triangular ridge of number three, I'm going to feel better. That's irreversible. You are now married to that case. And so we don't do anything until the entire case has been planned through and confirmed to be very predictable.
Right. Yeah. And I know you guys are big on instrumentation, and I'm going to use your words because I think you're brilliant in this. And one of the things with so much education in dentistry right now, one of the things that you shared with me is, you know, dentistry right now doesn't see the need for instrumentation to be as, you know, as accurate as it needs to. Like, explain that, because everybody thinks, oh, digital is going to be easy, all this stuff. You still have to have the instrumentation. So talk about that.
Yeah. You know, we could get into it. Digital is a big challenge for me right now, because if I'm going to change my instrumentation, I need to be able to achieve the same exact goals that I can achieve right now in an analog world. And until I have proven to myself that I can achieve the same level of care in a digital world that I can with an analog world, and that digital world is not inviting to me completely. And I have continued to look at the digital world. And so when, Kirk, you talk about instrumentation, and please know that there are so many very accurate instruments out there at a certain level. But FACE was using and is using instrumentations that bring the level of accuracy to a completely different level. It's tools of our trade. And, you know, with a golfer, and Tom has used this so many times, and I'm going to steal it from Tom, that if a great golfer just had two clubs, that great golfer would probably beat the majority of amateur golfers that had every club in the world. But if you give that great golfer all of the clubs that are available, he's going to, or she's going to, play at a completely different level. And so dentistry is just like that. And where the frustration has been is that the most accurate instrumentation in dentistry has been discontinued. Why would it be discontinued? The companies have discontinued it because there wasn't a demand for the purchase of that. So what does that say? And so FACE has had to design and make their own instruments, articulators, face bows, tracing instruments, because we could no longer buy instrumentation that was accurate enough to achieve the goals that we've set forth at FACE. Right. And that's a big statement to swallow. Yeah. If you think about it, that the most accurate dentistry in the world is not available to 99.9% of dentists practicing dentistry because there wasn't the demand for it.
Interesting. Now, I think another piece of this that's really important, I share with you, I love the power of story. And I want you to go back when you talk about the origin of how all this stuff came and the methodologies and the thinking. You know, when Tom Basta started this path, he went down and started to work with Peter K. Thomas in his office as a lab tech. Now, please explain to other people that are listening, who was Peter K. Thomas and why was he such an important part of dentistry's journey and your journey in this?
Peter K. Thomas was a dentist out of Beverly Hills that back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, probably the most famous dentist in the world for his goals of achieving excellence in restorative dentistry. And that's the best way to describe Peter. And so back in those days, a young dentist would find a mentor, and that young dentist would do anything possible to learn from that mentor. And so Tom identified Peter K. Thomas as someone that could teach him a lot. And so he was going to do anything he could to learn from that mentor. And he would fly down to Beverly Hills every weekend, and he would sit in Peter K. Thomas's lab. And anybody that knows Peter K. was known to be not only a premier dentist, but a premier lab technician. Peter loved technicians. If you were a technician and walked into his office with a challenge, Peter would drop everything and just sit down and start waxing and helping that technician. And so that's what Tom did. He was going to learn from the best at that time and then bring that back to his patients and his practice. And so that was a huge commitment that he would sacrifice so that he could learn what he wanted to learn.
That's awesome. And then Charlie Stewart, obviously, when it comes to instrumentation, how did that come together?
Yeah, so Charlie Stewart was another Southern California dentist, all in the circle of nephology, and nephology was supposedly born in Southern California. And so Charlie worked with Peter K. and developed the first truly fully adjustable instrumentation called the Stewart Articulator. FACE taught with the Stewart Articulator for many, many, many years. I learned under the Stewart Articulator, and I did hundreds of cases on the Stewart Articulator. And so that was the instrumentation that was developed back in the 50s and 60s to allow people like Peter K. Thomas and Tom Basta to practice at the highest level.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And you're such a nice guy. I've been with you on the road. Like, and talk about this. You're one who plays really nice with other people, like Leanne Brady, dear friend of yours, you know, all these people, John Coyce, all these people, Bob Margis type of a thing. And you've described, you know, when you're hungry after you've tried everything and you want to get this right, that's where we go to the next level. And you use the word predictability. I love that word because I feel like the happiest dentists in the world have the highest levels of predictability, but you've trained dentists all over the world. How important is that to their sanity and happiness?
Predictability is key to a successful practice. Whether it's doing a direct composite, never experiencing postoperative sensitivity, to doing an onlay and never having a debond or veneer, predictability is what separates the extremely high quality dentist from the masses. To be able to do things once at the highest level. And FACE applies those concepts to the most advanced dental concepts, restorative concepts in dentistry. We create a formula that can allow predictability at the highest level. I think I already said this to you, there's nothing more frustrating than spending a lot of money, going to courses, leaving your family, leaving your practice, flying, which we all look forward to doing again someday, to a course, getting excited, getting motivated, can't wait to get back to your practice, apply those exact concepts. And you know what? They will work some of the time.
Right.
Because the body is so incredibly adaptive. When we do a single unit crown, we are facing so many obstacles that most people don't even realize. You don't want to know everything that could possibly go wrong, especially with a single second molar crown. You've all experienced doing a single second molar crown the same way you've done it 10 other times. And on the 11th time, everything goes wrong. Well, why is that? So what FACE tries to do is answer those questions and bring predictability to it. Now, FACE is not for everybody, and I've talked to Leanne, and I spent days out at Dawson teaching the Dawson faculty the FACE concepts, and Leanne and I are going to do something at Panky together. And so my thought has always been that these programs, COI, SPEER, Panky, Dawson, Bioesthetics, any of these restorative study clubs are so incredible. And the one thing that FACE believes in is that they are all foundation builders. They lay down the groundwork. And if your questions have not been answered, you're still experiencing frustrations on certain cases. Those few people that want to do it at the very highest level, that's what FACE is. We can't take the masses. Peter Dawson always told me that he wants to be a mentor to the masses. And he says, FACE, you just want the absolute elite to come. Yeah. Our program is 100% hands-on. You are in a dental chair as either the patient or the doctor most of the time that you're in FACE. I sit down and cut a full mouth reconstruction on a patient while you're watching. I do every single step while you're watching. Not a single part of that is done without you present. We deliver a denture in 3 days that has never needed an adjustment, doesn't have a high or sore area. And we see the patient for the first time on Wednesday. We spend about 3 hours with that patient. And Tom and I hand them that denture on Saturday morning. And she puts it in, or he puts it in. And never to this day, as we track all of these cases, have those dentures ever needed a follow-up appointment. Now, we don't do things the way you were taught to do them in dental school. And that's the key. And that is what challenges some people. Base rims and wax rims, base plates and wax rims are how we've all been taught to do certain things in dentistry. They can't work. But every single dentist that's ever been trained has been taught to use it and to do it. And I'm going to tell you, it can't work. And so you're already behind the eight ball. And so we have to break so many of the concepts that you've been taught. And that's very, very hard for dentists. I always say when I'm introducing face concepts to dentists in a short introductory program, I said, everyone in this room is going to be faced with a challenge at the end of this introductory program. I, in the next 8 to 16 hours, am going to show you that there's a better way to do things, but it's going to require a tremendous amount of dedication and practice. And if you get up right now and leave, you will have not been exposed to that. And you can go back Monday morning and continue doing things like you've always done them. But if you stay the next day or two with me, how do you go back Monday morning and fall back into that rut when I've shown you that there's a better, more accurate, more predictable way of doing it, but it's going to take a lot of training, a lot of skill, a lot of commitment on your part to be able to do it. And that's why face is not for everybody.
Yeah. And I know that it's not for everybody. It's truly for the really committed learners. And Peter Dawson pulled you aside one time and he asked you if you were familiar with ice skating. Can you tell that story?
That was a true story. Peter and I used to talk a lot about face, and Peter knew face very well. Lee Kolb was Peter's technician, and Lee and I got to do cases together following the face concepts, and Lee was just blown away by what we were able to do. And I said to Peter, I said, you know, Peter, why do we struggle to get people out to face? And he said, Jeff, he said, it's simple. He says, what you are teaching is the absolute top level of dentistry. And he asked me if I was familiar with ice skating, and true story. And I said a little bit, and he said, you're in the Olympics, singles program, 4-minute program. You've nailed every single jump. You just need to complete one last jump. It doesn't matter what jump it is. You just have to land it. He says, my goal is to reach the masses. And I'm going to motivate that person to nail a single lux. That's a jump in ice skating. He said, face, you're going for the triple lux. In the last 15 seconds of a 4-minute program, you're going for the triple lux. You know, and Kirk, it reminds me of something. You had Newton fall on.
Yes.
During the closure. And I was texting Bob, because Newton, Bob, and I are all great friends. And I was so excited about something Newton was saying. Newton was simply doing direct composites on posterior teeth. But he said a few things that I don't even think was caught by the majority. He talked about putting contacts on inclined planes. And one of your faculty members challenged him on that and said, well, we teach cusp to fossa relationships. And Newton said, you can't make a tooth look like a tooth if you wax it up with a cusp to fossa relationship. That doesn't exist in Mother Nature. And we all know Newton to be one of the most talented artists in the world. And he's trying to duplicate nature.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at a tooth, there's no flat area on a tooth. So if there's no flat area on a tooth, and Newton's trying to reproduce inclined plane contacts on his direct composites, why in the world are the majority of study groups out there teaching cusp to fossa relationships if that's not what a tooth looks like? And Newton said, he answered the question, I was watching live, he said, but that's not what a tooth looks like. And it's simply because you don't have the instrumentation that would allow you to place contacts on inclined planes. We've all been taught since day one of dental school that we can't put contacts on inclined planes. But that's the only place a contact is when Mother Nature makes a tooth. That is it. Mm-hmm. So what's going on there? Well, if you don't have the instrumentation to allow you to reproduce Mother Nature, then you have to lose certain parts of your goals, and stability is going to be one of them. If you don't build inclined plane contacts in your orthodontia or in your restorative dentistry, because that's what Ron Roth was doing, was building tripodization of natural teeth, and Tom Boston face tripodization of both natural teeth through proper equilibrations and restorative teeth with restorative materials, you can't achieve that goal without the instrumentation. So Peter Dawson said triple lux. Newton Fall showed inclined planes in his beautiful artistry. And it really did just, a light went on. I'm like, Newton, you have no idea what you just opened in showing all that beautiful inclined plane contact dentistry and direct dentistry.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
One thing I really appreciate about you more than anything is you're a passionate teacher. You're also a good one to reframe things. Like, no. Let's really get to the truth of what we're talking about. And I asked you because I didn't know. And I'm like, well, face, is that where the face bow originated? And you're like, okay, you're Kirk. It's a face bow that you're thinking about is not a face bow. It's an ear bow. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Can you explain that? I want you to tell that story to everybody.
So, less than 1%. Now, unfortunately, I think that number is less than 1%. Maybe 0.1% of dentists in the world have actually ever used a face bow. What we are trained to use is an ear bow. And an ear bow is a wonderful instrument. And you know, and so many of my friends out there, and Dawson and Panky and Spear and Coyce and so many others, their motivation is solely just to get you to use an ear bow. And the level of your dentistry will greatly improve. You know, dental school did some wonderful things for all of us, but there's just too much to learn in the period of time that we have to get through dental school. There was too much to learn in 1944 when my dad graduated. And this month represents his 77th reunion class. He graduated of January of 1944. So he's been out of dental school 77 years. Wow. And there was too much to learn in 1944 and graduate as a dentist. You think about everything we're learning today. It is impossible. Art Degoni always said that he would meet with the senior dental students and he said, my goal is to graduate a safe beginner. And then your mission is to get out and learn everything that's possible. Well, one thing dental schools never did is really truly taught us the value of an ear bow, something we stick in the ears, which takes about a minute and a half. So if you ever want to buy an ear bow cheap, the senior dental students are always posting their ear bows and their articulators on eBay because they were never taught how to use an ear bow. Or even if they were taught how to use it, they never were given the value of what an ear bow can do for the level of your dentistry. Now I'm going to go one step further. An ear bow is an extremely arbitrary average instrument. And if you don't understand the limitations of an ear bow, you will get in trouble. And I see this happen all the time. An ear bow is simply accurate at one position that rarely, if ever, represents the restorative position of our final restorative dentistry. And if you have all day, we can talk more about that. What is an extremely accurate instrument? A face bow. You're like, what is a face bow? A face bow is simply locating on the skin a point that represents the center of rotation of a resolved stable condyle or an unresolved unstable condyle. That's for another conversation. But through locating a hinge, I'm able to determine how stable that patient is right at that moment in time. And then I can put a little mark on the skin and take a record. And that record is referred to as a face bow. And that technology got lost over the years, and we started calling an ear bow a face bow. But a ear bow is something we put in the ears that's arbitrary. A face bow is an extremely accurate instrument. Now, I could take anybody out there and I could teach you how to do a face bow in probably 15 minutes. Now, you need a whole lot more than just the knowledge of doing a face bow. I offered to go out to Dawson and teach all the Dawson faculty how to locate a hinge and do a face bow at the CDA in the spring of 2022, which I hope we have a meeting. We're doing an occlusion panel with Leanne Brady and a number of other groups. And what I'm going to do in our breakout session is I'm going to put a patient in a chair and I'm going to locate a hinge. And I'm going to show you how incredibly easy that is. Now, we had to create the instrumentation because that's no longer available to the masses. So if I could tell you that I could teach you how to do something that after you practiced a few times, you could do in 15 minutes, and that would take the level of accuracy of your diagnosis, treatment planning, and restorative dentistry to a higher level than the majority of the world has ever seen in dentistry. How do you not do that? And that's the frustrating part. I mean, Tom and I talk weekly, and we're so frustrated that people aren't bashing the door down to learn this. But times are different.
Right.
Tom is old school. You know Tom. Yeah. Tom is old school. I was mentored by old school. So I've adopted old school. And I'm wired a lot like old school. And so I just have an incredibly difficult time understanding why people aren't bashing the door down. But Kirk, what we do at FACE isn't sexy. You know, we're it's a small group of people. It's a family. We get together. We learn together. We eat together. We drink together. We have fun together. But it's a family. Yeah. And it's not sexy, but it's and at the end of every day, you feel like shit. you don't feel like you just went to an Anthony Robbins program.
Right.
You are so overwhelmed with what we showed you. And it's not on slides. We're doing everything on patients in front of you. Everything. Wow. Now, how can we do that? How can I sit a patient down at every level 3 program and prep from beginning to end, diagnosis, treatment planning, full mouth preps, impressions, mountings, case delivery? How can I do that time after time after time on a living, breathing patient, the most advanced dentistry in the world, with 20 people in my space? Because it works. And I love everybody out there, and we all represent a place in dentistry. We all do. Everybody out there represents a place in dentistry. Even the people I don't agree with represent a very important place in dentistry. And I'm the good cop, bad cop. I'm the good cop. Tom's a bad cop. And I respect everybody out there. But I will tell you that nobody out there has the confidence or predictability to deliver a denture in 2 days, to do a full mouth reconstruction with everybody. I mean, dentistry is hard.
Right.
The level of dentistry that I do is hard. And I'm doing it with everybody in my world, crawling down into the patient's mouth, looking. And so everything we do is it works.
Right. Now I have to ask you, and you and I have never talked about this. So as you guys have gone on this or been on this journey, where does airway fit in? Has it always fit in? Is it the new thing? Like where, when you hear the word airway, tell me what your thoughts are.
Airway is sexy. It is. Everybody's talking about airway. And everybody agrees airway is important. And face agrees airway is important. We've got on our faculty, I think one of the smartest men in the world, in Dr. David Hatcher. David Hatcher is a radiologist. He was one of the first true specialist radiologists in the world. His entire commitment in his early programs were committed to jaw joints and degenerative joint disease. Dave is also a consultant down at Stanford in the airway clinic. And in his world as a radiologist, he's written one of the programs that looks at airways within a CBCT, which has some limitations. But I talk to Dave about this all the time. And bringing a jaw down and forward in an occlusal appliance, and I actually, you guys had Jeff Rouse, March or April or May. And I saw that program. And I think what you guys did over the shutdown was great. And all these people are good friends of mine. I've been at Jeff's house drinking margaritas with him, and we've been on panels together. When Jeff and I used to be on panels together, Jeff was appliance. And here I am being frustrated with seeing patients that are in appliances and their joints are on the less adaptive patients melting away. And Jeff said something in one of the ACT programs that no longer is appliance therapy the solution to the problem. And I jumped out of my seat and I screamed and yelled at 8 o'clock in the morning. I was so happy to hear Jeff say that. And I actually rewatched it a couple times when you made that recording available, because I wanted to make sure I heard exactly what I thought I heard. That bringing the jaw down and forward with an appliance introduces such great risk to a jaw joint. And that's a temporary solution to determine if there are other actions that are needed. Anybody that started their career studying jaw joints, and I started my advanced restorative dentistry career in 1993 studying jaw joints, and I took an oath to protecting the jaw joint. And so when a patient with an airway problem is presented, I'm fortunate enough to have Stanford within 50 miles, and they are considered experts in airway. But I would have to violate everything that I know is right for the jaw joint to bring a jaw down and forward and bring it out of the socket. That is so stressful to the jaw joint and the bracing of the muscles, that slippery slope, the eminentia, that condyle has to be braced down. Imagine an ice skating rink on an incline, and the muscles trying to brace that condyle halfway down. And that is why some patients do fine with it and some patients do not. Some patients' joints start melting away. Jeff also said something other than that he never used to say, and he said at the ACT program, that all airway appliances change occlusion. Now, he never used to say that. And now he says airway appliances create malocclusion. And I have seen that in my experience. So in the state of California, airway is the practice of medicine. And airway treatment cannot be done without direct supervision with a physician. And whether that's done or not, I don't know, but it does at least bring to light that maybe a dentist shouldn't just be randomly bringing a condyle down and out of socket in an undiagnosed position without understanding all of the risk and explaining all of those risks to patients. And so I've chosen to not treat airway in my practice because I'm not equipped for it, nor do I want to introduce malocclusion or melting condyles. I refer patients to Stanford all the time. And I can't tell you how many patients wear a CR splint and a CPAP and are completely comfortable. So they wear my splint, a face splint, we call FOSA, a face orthopedic stabilization appliance, along with the CPAP as a solution for a mild case. There's virtually no risk in those combinations for those patients that are compliant with that. And Rebecca was on your program, and she talked about the importance of diagnosing early. And I can't agree with that more. When you see these narrow palates on these kids, you know, you get them out of trouble before they get into trouble. And with adults, there's too many people in the kitchen. And dentists have a place in maybe the diagnosis, but I don't know if dentists have a true place in definitive treatment, unless you're skilled and trained in surgery, in other areas of dentistry. I am not, and I took an oath to protect the occlusion and the joint. And most concepts that I hear presented to restorative dentists, without truly understanding the risk, may introduce risk without necessarily the knowledge behind them. So I believe in airway. I believe it's important, but I don't think that it's as easily treated as so many programs make you think by just bringing the condyle down and forward.
Right. Good. I love your perspective. Love it. Now, you've brought a lot of different components to face, the adhesion, the occlusion, and I want to have you back and talk about some of those things. And I know I only get you for so much time, but I want you to talk about the future of dentistry. You know, if I'm a young dentist and I'm watching Jeff, what do you want to say to a 32-year-old dentist who's watching right now, who has 3 decades of practice in front of them?
I wish I knew now. Well, I wish I was 32 and know what I know now.
Right.
I have committed more time than I would ever ask anybody out there to dentistry. I've committed my entire life to dentistry, and that's not fair to ask anybody. But I go to work every single day so excited about what I'm going to do. And what's the majority of my day? The majority of my day is porcelain onlays, immediate dental seal, margin elevations, direct composites, you know, basic everyday dentistry. But I will tell you that with my understanding of face dentistry, it takes that single unit crown on number 31 and makes it so incredibly easy. It takes that chip of that upper front tooth where that composite keeps chipping off and chipping off. And I'm able to dig deep into my face training. And I know it wasn't the bonding agent or the composite I used on that. It was function. Function is the foundation for predictable, long-lasting, stable dentistry. And I would say that if you want to absolutely enjoy your craft, put aside the money, put aside the business aspect, put aside everything else, you just want to enjoy your craft. You want to love every procedure you do, no matter whether it's a single unit crown, a 3-unit bridge, or full mouth reconstruction, or an upper denture or hybrid bridge. If you want to be able to put that dentistry in and not have to see that patient again for adjustments or problems most of the time, and I will share with you the cases that you will most likely see those patients again, and you'll be able to tell the patient that because of something about your case, I may need to see you again to do a slight adjustment. And someone said this on one of your programs, it's better to talk about it before than after. It's an apology if it's an after. It's a explanation if it's before. I can't remember the exact way it was said, but managing patients' expectations is all about understanding the predictability of what you do.
Yeah.
Now, I've never advertised. a day in my life. I'm not on Facebook. I don't know what social media is. I have not a single penny spent on any form of advertisement. 100% of my practice could care less if I'm down at Face lecturing or if I'm in Chicago or Hinman. All they know is, where's Jeff when I need him? He's not there. So my patients are just like your patients, and they just want predictability. And something my dad taught me very early on is successful dentistry builds practices more than anything else. We are not accepting new patients. We can't. I am so overwhelmed in my practice. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't understand. Kirk, I don't understand. When I stick my head into these practice management programs at some of the large meetings, and I love to go around and scout other programs, my background in meeting planning, I love to scout. And I hear these people say, we're going to bring 50 new patients a month to your practice. What the hell is wrong with your practice? Where are all your patients going if you need to bring 50 new patients in? I can't bring one new patient in. And so it's always a favor for a referring specialist. And I mean, patients beg. Yesterday, I went in after the Chicago Midwinter meeting and sat down with Wendy, and she's like, I've got two of these patients just begging to come in. And I'm like, Wendy, do we have time to see them in our schedule? She's like, not until May or June. You know, do you want to see them after hours? Well, sure, I'll see them after hours. Now I see them after hours, and they need something, and they're going to want it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And how do I do that? So a successful practice is one where you keep all your patients. On a daily basis, I see patients that have been coming to our practice since the 50s, 60s, and 70s. All of my dad's patients that are still alive are all part of my practice. They don't know who I am. They just know that they like the way we do things. We do them once, we do them right. Occlusion always comes back to that. If you don't understand function, if you don't understand occlusion, nothing is exciting and rewarding in dentistry. But it's a tough subject. It's not sexy. It's hard. It's not a week journey. It's not a month journey. It's a lifetime journey. I love taking courses on occlusion. I still learn things. I've been doing the highest level of occlusion for 25 of my 33 years, and I'm still picking up something on every single class I take. So, you know, for those young people, take a good look at your practice. What's working? What isn't? Where do you want to be in 5, 10, 15, 20 years? The majority of people that come through FACE are in their last trimester of a dental practice. And they have chosen to practice their last period of time doing the best dentistry in the world. And you know what they all then say? Why didn't I do this earlier? Awesome. But they spent 2/3 of their career doing things that they were frustrated with. And they keep hearing about FACE and keep hearing about FACE and keep hearing about FACE. And finally they do it. And like, why did I wait so long? I think what we teach at FACE should be the first week at dental school, but it's not, and it can't be. I think it should be the first week when you get out, but it's so different than what you've learned. And what you hear Frank Spear and Leanne Brady and John Coyce and all of my friends out there, John Cranham, and I mean, these are all great people and they're all my friends. But the message I have is so different that it's interesting to read my reviews. You either embrace it or you reject it. And it is much, much more difficult to embrace it than it is to reject it. And I get that. And so that's why when I'm out with you, I don't lecture on FACE. I can get to a room of 1,000 and I can talk about bonding and adhesion. And that's fun for me too. And that's what I do all day long. But you and I want to please the audience, don't we? We want that reward. We want to be liked. We want to be well received. Well, in my 28 years of teaching on the road, I've realized that when I talk about face, I am not well received. It's too bitter of a pill to swallow. It's just too different. And so why in the world would you need to do something? Why does face see the need to do it so differently than anybody else out there? And I don't have an answer for that. But I do respect everybody out there. I do. And every one of them creates a building block towards excellence. Yeah. And I would never say anything negative about any program that encouraged a dentist to learn and improve.
Yeah.
Our program is just a bigger wall.
Yeah. Now I want you to talk about that. And again, you said at the beginning, it's not for everybody. And the cool thing is that I, you know, your heart for teaching and all, I'm just going to say, if you're listening to this or watch this, you got to see Jeff teach. I mean, it's incredible what you do. And I also want people that if they're listening and they want to check out more about face, how do I get involved with face? Where do I go? Where do I start? What's the first level look like?
Well, so I'm going to just go full disclosure.
Okay.
When you go to other websites, they're quite impressive. So remember my practice when I started off, it was my mom, my dad, and I, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we weren't sexy. The building was old, but the dentistry that came out of that building was incredible. Well, I would tell you that that's one of the challenges with two people that are set in their ways, Boston, myself. We don't have a sexy website. We don't. And nor do we want to spend tens of thousands of dollars. We want to stay alive. We want to be alive. We want to be out there for those people that want to come see us. And, you know, face right now is volunteer for Tom and I. We're there for the people that want to come out and spend time for us with us. I moved it from Burlingame down to Tarzana. If you don't have any idea where Tarzana is, it is about 12 miles up Highway 101. From Burbank. And so you fly into Burbank or LAX. If it's LAX, you drive up about 40 minutes. If it's Burbank, you drive up about 12 minutes. And a good friend of mine, Bruce Crispin. And Bruce Crispin started the UCLA program, and then Ed McLaren took over and did wonderful things that took over with Bruce's hard work. Well, Bruce built a facility, and on the top floor is his practice, his daughter's practice, and a full commercial lab. Face rents the second floor. And so we are there 4 to 5 weeks a year. We're there Wednesday through Sunday. We try to stop at noon on Sunday. Sunday morning's my favorite day. It's just treatment planning. You bring your cases, and Tom and I will treatment plan and hold your hands. Some doctors bring their patients out, and Tom and I will help them with the initial diagnosis and treatment planning of their cases. A lot of doctors bring their staff out so they can watch how my dental assistant works with them. But so we're down in Tarzana, California. It used to be in Burlingame, which is right by the San Francisco airport. Now it's Tarzana, and that allows us to only pay rent when we're there. So that we don't, was just talking to John Coyce on Saturday of last week. And, you know, these people that own these expensive teaching facilities, and it's rent. Right now, the pandemic is really affecting these great students because they owe all that. And fortunately, face doesn't have the overhead. But so talking about not a sexy website, but all of the information is on there, and it's facedentistry.org, F-A-C-E, dentistry.org. If you have any questions, there's a site there where you can email me questions. Sue is our executive assistant. She checks that email several times a week. She will call you back. She will send you information. So right now we may be doing, Tom and I may be doing some webinar programs since our intro programs are shut down. But once we get ready to go, we can't teach face on webinars.
Yeah.
We can only introduce you to what face you have to be with us.
Yeah.
It's 1 week, Wednesday through Sunday. Level two is 3 weeks over usually 10 to 12 weeks in between each time where you've got a ton of homework. I mean, it's just like going back to school. And if you come in the second week not having practiced the tools and the techniques we taught you, you're going to get lost. And then you just go through the motions. Level three is 4 weeks. So we've got 1 week, level one, 3 weeks, level two, 4 weeks, level three. And we take, awesome. You know, 8 or 10 people maximum in each program.
Yeah. That is awesome. I didn't know you were in Bruce's facility. So long story short, I mean, I started ACT 25 years ago and Bruce gave me a place. So Bruce and Christy were there. That was before she went to dental school. And Bruce is like, yeah, come on in. And Sarah and I were living in Hermosa Beach, California. And we had just got engaged. And I'm like, and Sarah's like, you got to go for this. And she was my biggest supporter, but I had no place to go. So I met with Bruce Crispin and he's like, come on in. And he was so great to me. So make sure you say hi to him. I appreciate him so much. So
he and I were teaching a 4-day occlusion program at the AGD back in 2001 or 2000 to allow the masters to have their occlusion hands on. And it was back in 2000, he tried to get me to move face to his facility and it just took me a little bit longer. But we moved down there 5 years ago and we're so happy. And Bruce and Crispy and Vicky, they're just wonderful people. And we really enjoy being able to, and he's proud. I mean, Bruce, to be able to say his facility is the home of face, he says that's a badge of honor for him.
Yeah.
That now face is now making his facility, our home. Yeah. And so he's very proud of that.
Those are great people. Give them my best.
I will.
Awesome. So awesome, buddy. Well, thank you for joining up today. And again, we're going to have you back. Talk about adhesion, occlusion, all those other things. But gosh, I really enjoyed hearing the story. I've never heard the whole story today. So I really appreciate that. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for joining the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor. Hit the share button. Share with your friends. Check out the Face Institute. Make sure you see Jeff speak on the road. You'll love it. Or go to Face out there. I know you'll love it. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.